Well, good evening, friends. It's good to be with you again. I commend you once more for your desire to seek God on this day and to have an interest in spiritual things. It means a lot to know that there are people who love the Lord and want to know more of His will. I hope you had a good day. I was able to sit in with the elders and deacons yesterday as they were going over the way things are going to be laid out when we assemble again, and thinking about meeting for morning service and evening service and all the different things we have to do. And Joey Elms afterwards asked me, well, what are we going to do? How are we all going to meet in your office on Sunday evening? And he was referring back to how we've been doing this for some time now, for quite a few weeks, about 2 months, really. We've been able to meet like this on a Sunday afternoon to study God's Word. And it has been a very special thing. That's what I want you to know. It's been a very special experience to share in this with you and to have good feedback and good comments on how people are benefiting from these efforts. And I'm just so thankful that we have a church that has good leadership, that has kept us active, and that has continued to encourage us to assemble virtually these last 2 months, and we haven't missed a beat in that sense. And I just commend you, though. I commend this church as a whole for people who love the Lord and love one another and who want to go to heaven, and that's evident, and it's a real honor to be part of this. It really is. This evening, I'd like for us to consider a thought here on being people who are willing to forgive one another. That's always important for us to think about and important for us to consider, because obviously it is God's will that we be people who are willing to forgive one another and unwilling to hold resentment, unwilling to hold bitter grudges and things like that. That's not the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be people who not only show mercy, but who are ready to show mercy, who are ready to forgive. And I encourage us with this thought because, number one, we need it ourselves. We need mercy from God, and we need mercy from one another, so we should be inclined and ready to forgive people when they injure us. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 18 when he tells this wonderful story, this wonderful parable about how a person was forgiven so much from his master and how that person should have been willing to forgive those who owed him a debt. And that's what forgiveness gets to. It is releasing a debt that somebody owes you or you owe somebody. And to be forgiven means to be eliminated, and that burden is no longer there. We understand that. And Jesus tells the story in Matthew chapter 18 of a man who had a tremendous debt to his master. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 18. And this is after Peter had asked, you know, how many times do we have to forgive somebody? Seven times in a day. And Jesus made that great statement, not just seven times, but up to 70 times seven is what Jesus said. And he says in Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. What a tremendous story. I mean, just that section alone, it shows that here's a man who owed a tremendous amount of money, could not pay it back, was asking for mercy. And in return, the king not only extended mercy, He completely forgave the debt as a whole. No longer did he owe anything to this man. Now, when you consider what Jesus is talking about here in terms of the value of the talents and just how much was at stake here, it really takes on a new meaning, the story does. From what I can tell, a talent, of course, a talent was a weight of money. And I've read that it could be up to 75 pounds. Most will say around 71 pounds. I'm just going to go with 71 and show you that when this man owed his master 10,000 talents, if you're dealing with talents of gold, you were dealing with, either one, silver or gold, you're dealing with a large sum of money. Today, gold trades at about $1,700 an ounce, and silver is trading about $15 an ounce. And when you consider the comparison that Jesus is making here in this story, a talent would be, of course, 16 ounces in a pound, would be equivalent to today's terms of $27,000 in gold is what 1 pound of gold would be today, 27,000. And a talent, of course, was 71 pounds. So if you were to take a pound of gold, 27,000, and convert it to a talent, you'd have to multiply it by 71, and you would come up with $1.9 million. Now that is a lot of money. We all would agree. But what the story says is he owed 10,000 talents. So if you were to take a talent of gold and multiply it by 10,000, you're looking at $19 billion that this man owed, if it was a talent of gold. In today's currency, so on and so forth, you get the point. Either way, this man owed a lot of money, more than he could possibly pay back. And even if it was silver, it still wasn't a better situation. Silver would have put him at $170 million by today's standards and equivalent to the story Jesus was telling. A lot of money. More than most of us could ever pay back. Majority of us would never be able to pay back anything like that. And that's what shape this man was in. This is the condition he was in. He was in a spot where he could not repay what he owed. It was just impossible. And that, what a great parallel with us in God. When we sin, we incur a debt spiritually that we cannot pay off on our own. It's just impossible for us to be delivered from that apart from God's mercy. And that's exactly what this king did. He forgave this man. Not only said, he didn't say, I'll give you more time. He said, you don't even owe me anything. You're free. Don't worry about it. Go home and enjoy your life. Don't let this weigh on your heart anymore. You don't owe me a penny. You're free. It's completely forgiven. Don't worry about it. Get up and live your life. You're a free man. This is what the king did for this man. This is the mercy he extended. Well, Jesus goes on to say that that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, what a remarkable turn of events here. Because here this man goes out and he finds a man who owed him 100 denarii. Now, a denarii, according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary, was the basic unit of Roman coinage, and it was probably equal to a laborer's daily wage. Okay, so when you consider this amount, I mean, it was just nothing compared to what this man was just forgiven. I mean, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars he was forgiven, so to speak. And he finds a man who owed him basically pennies. And he grabs him by the throat, threatens him. That man falls down at his feet begging for mercy. And this man who had been forgiven so much was not only unwilling to forgive, he threw the man in prison and was going to require him to stay there until the debt was paid. Now, how in the world can a man work off a debt if he's in prison, unable to work it off? You see, but maybe that's the point Jesus is making, that when we are unwilling to forgive people, sometimes we make it so much so that it's impossible for them to have peace with us. It's impossible for them to be right with us, because we have so much resentment towards them, because we have such a grudge that there is nothing they can do to be right with us, because we are just so bitter. And yet, Jesus tells a story because this is exactly what we need to be reminded of. Here's a man who owed so much, could not pay it back, and was released of the debt. He found a man who owed him 100 denarii, which was about 100 days' wages. Let's just say if you made $100 a day times 100, that would be $1,000. Let's just convert it that way. So here's a man forgiven of 19 billion, and yet he was unwilling to forgive somebody who owed him $1,000. Now, what a contrast. What a horrible scenario to just analyze and look at, for somebody to be that unloving, that callous, and that so far removed from the mercy they were just extended. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get us to realize, that when we have begged God for mercy and he heard our prayer and he forgave us, why would we not be willing to extend that mercy to somebody else who has wronged us, or we have perceived that they've wronged us, or they have done something that we don't like, or they have done something that offends us, just us personally, and they have not necessarily done anything sinful, and yet we're unwilling to forgive them, or unwilling to let it go, unwilling to let them live their own life, and we choose to be bitter and resentful instead? What a horrible story Jesus is telling us here. But he's telling us this because this is the terrible nature of being unwilling to forgive. And all we have to do, good friends, to be more inclined to show mercy is to remember what God did for us. Just remember. Remember the debt he delivered us from. And because he delivered us from the debt of spiritual death, why would I even hesitate for a second to forgive anybody who owed me anything, or had done me wrong, or had done something that injured me? Why would I hesitate for a second to extend that same mercy to them, especially when they're asking for it, especially when they're begging me in the same way I beg God? And so we have to be appreciative of what Jesus is saying here, because he was angry. It says in verse 32 that after the master had heard about what that man did, he called him in and he said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, Jesus is painting some very colorful words here for us, a very vivid picture for us to realize. Look, this is not optional. If you and I want to be right with God, we have to be people who are willing to extend the mercy to others that he has extended to us. And that's a very serious thing to consider. And we should be willing to. I mean, why would we not, after all that God has done for us? And so, to impress this upon us, I would like for us to consider a song. And in this song, I want us to go back to how God forgave us and how we begged him for mercy and how we fell down at his feet. And in remembering that, that should soften our hearts and make us more ready and more willing to forgive those who injure us. And so if you would join with me in singing this song of begging God for mercy.
Dear Lord and Father, Amen.
Well, what a beautiful song in hopefully enhancing this thought and in helping us remember just exactly what God has done for us. And so we are people who are ready to forgive, especially one another, because we need mercy. We need mercy, and so we extend mercy to those who need ours. I encourage us to be people who forgive because God commands it. Love demands it, I should say. Love demands it. Going again, I just don't think this can be repeated too much because the Bible emphasizes it quite a bit, is that when we have the love of God and it is reigning within our heart, we should be people who are ready to forgive. I'll go back to Colossians chapter 3 and looking at this, and look at how Paul describes this in Colossians chapter 3 in describing just exactly what God has done for us. In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verses 12 and 13, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." We're reminded in this text of what it means to be the people of God, the chosen ones, the ones who are so fortunate to be in this relationship with Him, the people who are called to be holy, the people who are called to be meek and long-suffering and bearing with one another. That's who we are. And He says that we're to do this in tender mercies, remembering what God has done for us. Now, have you ever prayed to God, and in your prayer, you're begging Him for mercy, and in begging Him for mercy, tears are streaming down your cheek because you realize what you did was so wrong and you're so sorry for it. And you are begging Him to forgive you. And you rise from that prayer with peace of mind, knowing that you're right with God because of the blood of Christ. Have you ever done that? Chances are you do it on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis. We know what it's like. We know what it's like to fall down at the feet of God and ask Him to forgive us one more time for our foolishness. Now, what Paul is saying here is, friends, now listen. He did that for you. He forgave you. He got you back up on your feet. He says, try again. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't quit. I love you. Get back up and do it again. That's what God gave you. Now, why would you not give that to someone else? When somebody says something about you and they later regret that and they come to you and they apologize to you, are you going to be a person who says, well, no, you hurt me way too bad. There is no way I can ever let this go. Or are you going to be a person who goes back to the scene of when you were on your knees and tears coming down your cheeks asking God for mercy and He forgave you? And because He forgave you, your response to the person who has injured you is, hey, I love you. Thank you for that. Get back up and let's go again. Try again. Is that going to be our attitude? I hope so. But unfortunately, good friends, it's not always that way. Sometimes when we injure certain Christians, we are their enemy for life. Sometimes when we upset certain Christians, they're going to resent us for a long time. And it just doesn't match up. It doesn't match up with the love of God. And that's exactly what He has reminded us of in these verses. And so, listen, it shouldn't be that hard for us to forgive and forget because God does it for us on a daily basis. And so let us swallow our pride. Let us be people who let go of our arrogant spirit and let us lift up the person who is asking us for mercy. Let us lift up the person who is crying for help and deliverance. Let us extend to them what God extends to us. And so in looking at love, we have to be people who love in mercy because He's that way. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, where He makes a good contrast here. where he says, now look, you know, anybody can love those who love them in return, but will you even rise to the level of loving your enemies? And that's what I want us to consider in this, that we are to be so committed to love that, yes, we're willing to forgive those who ask us for mercy, but we are so committed to love that we're even willing to have mercy on those who don't ask us for mercy. That's how committed we are to love. That's how committed we are to be like God, that even when they don't beg us for forgiveness, we still have a spirit that is willing to forgive, a heart that is hoping to be in fellowship with them once more, because we just love them so much. We do this even for our enemies. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And this is the challenge he's put before us, that we are to be so driven by love that we love people regardless of what they do to us. We love them. And if they're threatening us, or if they are slandering us, or if they are doing injury to us, or if they are resentful toward us, we don't return that spirit with an evil spirit. Anybody can do that. But instead, we become like God. And God is a God who shows kindness to those who hate him. God is a God who shows blessings and abundance and love to those who don't even acknowledge him. Jesus says, look, when the sun comes up, it doesn't just come to God's people. It comes to his enemies as well. When the rain hits the earth, it doesn't just fall upon the land of God's people or those who love God. It falls upon the atheist field. It falls upon the sinner's field. It falls upon the fields of those who hate God or don't even acknowledge him, or especially his son. He shows mercy day after day after day. And if we're going to be like this God, then we need to show that same mercy continually, all the time, but especially when people are asking us for our forgiveness. Well, once more, I want us to think about God's mercy and this love, and really this love that's going to lead us all the way into heaven. It's a heavenly love that it's something that we just don't have now. It's something that we have forever. It's a love that will last for our life, through this life, and into eternity with God. And I want us to consider this beautiful song of heavenly love.
Heavenly love, heavenly love, that's all I can call me.
Well, friends, I want to make one more point, if you will, please, that we should be willing to forgive one another because God commands it of us. And we see this again in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if all the reasons we've already given are not enough to persuade us to have a tender spirit towards those who ask us for mercy, certainly these verses should sober us up. God is going to say to us on Judgment Day, if we've been this type of person who would not forgive, or he's going to say, there's nothing I can do for you. I extended mercy to you. You did not extend it to other people. And so I cannot forgive you, and I will not forgive you because of your unwillingness to show mercy to others. That's how serious this is. And so what he's saying to us then is that when we have been bitter towards somebody, when we've held a grudge, when we wouldn't let it go, we wouldn't pray for them, we wouldn't bless them, we wouldn't lift them up, when we come before God, falling on our knees with the tears coming down our streaks, begging him for mercy, we can know based on these verses, he will not forgive us. He won't forgive us because we were unwilling to show it to other people. That's just how important this is. And friends, I encourage us to realize we are all capable of forgiving anything people have done against us. In 2006, I was reminded of this 2006 story of the time when Charles Roberts, I think he was 39, I believe, where he went into a schoolroom of Amish children, and he dismissed the teacher, he dismissed the boys, but he held captive 10 young girls, and he took their lives. It's a very terrible, tragic event. But in the midst of all this loss, the Amish community, well, first of all, they didn't cast any blame. They didn't point fingers. They didn't hold a press conference with their attorneys. Instead, they extended mercy. The afternoon of the shooting, an Amish grandfather of one of the girls who was killed expressed forgiveness toward the killer. That same day, Amish neighbors visited the Roberts family, that's the gunman's family, to comfort them in their sorrow. Later that week, the Roberts family was invited to the funeral of one of the Amish girls who had been killed. And when it came time for the funeral of the shooter, there were more Amish mourners there than non-Amish mourners. What a tremendous story. What a tremendous example of what it means to show mercy, what it means to have a forgiving spirit, of willing to help other people and lift other people up from despair. What an excellent and outstanding example of the mercy of Christ. I may not agree with everything they do in their faith, but I commend those who have extended that type of mercy, especially at a dark period like that. Now, can you forgive? Can you forgive somebody who has said something against you or done something against you and has asked you for mercy? Or even if they haven't, will you still extend that kind of love and that kind of mercy that God wants? And so we have to be people who work out our problems. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 5, 23 through 24. Work it out, because that's how God wants us to be as his people. And so I encourage us with these thoughts, good friends, of forgiving one another. We need mercy. God commands us to show mercy, and love demands it because of what God has done for us. God says in Psalms 86 and verse 5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." And that's true. It's true in our relationship with him, but it's true in us also in seeking forgiveness if we have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we always want to give people an opportunity to know what it means to be forgiven by God. And it's all through Jesus. He's the one who died for our sins, was buried, and came back from the dead. And we are to believe in that, as especially him as the Son of God, turn away from our sins. He commands all men everywhere to do this, Acts 17 and verse 30. He wants us to confess that faith we have in him, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then he wants us to be immersed or buried with him in baptism. He wants us to be submerged underwater for salvation in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And that's what puts us in Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. So we hope that if you haven't done that, you would do that. Or if you have done that but haven't been living a faithful life, we hope you come back to God who loves you and is ready to forgive, and that he wants us to be people who show that same mercy towards one another. I thank you for your time this evening. I appreciate your interest in spiritual things, and I hope some things were said to help us in our relationship with God. Would you bow with me, please, as we end this in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we come before you to thank you for this opportunity you've given us to study your word and to be reminded of these tremendous lessons you've given us on being people of mercy. We thank you for forgiving us, especially when we don't deserve it. And we thank you for your love and your pity and your consideration. We praise you for that. We praise our Savior for making it possible for sinners like us to be forgiven. And Father, we ask you to help us to rise to the challenge of being like you, of showing mercy to our enemies, of being kind to those who are unkind to us, and of being merciful people toward those who ask us for forgiveness. Please help us to be like you. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to have your eternal love. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you're doing for us. And thank you for the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, friends, once more. And again, I remind you, if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. My telephone number is 270-256-3671 if I can help you with anything. May God be with you.